Good morning. Today is Monday, July the 30th. Joining us this morning is Mr. Rob Arkley. Hey, dude.
Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good. Boy, the fires around are just... Were you guys up in the hills?
We were.
How bad was the
smoke? 1 minute there was smoke, the next minute there wasn't, and obviously the scale of the fire is just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's... That and then the ones down south, too.
Lake County, that's a big fire.
Yeah. I just, it's intriguing to me. But at least they're using the big boy airplanes now to drop the retardant down.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Yeah, over in Redding. But Ange heard something that people were flying drones, and they were pulling off the airplanes until those stupid drones, people stopped using them because they were afraid of running into them and having issues.
So people were flying drones to look at the fires?
Yeah, or to film them, or the news guys doing it, or whatever. But, you know, you get down low enough so that they're not having to do flight plans or the equivalent of that, and the airplanes are coming in low.
Oh, my gosh, I hadn't heard that. That's like, insane.
Yeah, it's all about me. You didn't know that, did you?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Not you, me.
No.
All right. Hey, this is a theater. Why do they say that? You might even recognize this one.
All right.
I don't, but you might. How do we happen to call a theater pass in Annie Oakley?
I don't know.
Because free passes were once punched full of holes, and Annie Oakley was a famous raffle shot who, as part of her act, would shoot holes in a playing card held by an assistant.
Wow.
It's almost logical, huh?
Almost. It gets there.
Oh, my.
We're better for knowing that.
Yeah. I feel more full, complete in total. Oh, boy. So what's exciting in your life?
Well, we are flying back east. I'm flying earlier than some others to meet with a new business that would come to Eureka that would add over 100 jobs. So I'm pretty excited and make it.
As things are currently permitted? Or does we it require some shenanigans, not shenanigans, but running the gauntlet?
Well, I think they need to run the gauntlet. We've, as I believe everyone should do, we sat down first thing with the Coastal Commission and said, look, this is what we're looking at. And we've told them to come to you and above all, meet with you first rather than last. So it enhances communication and it allows them to put their hot buttons on the table quickly. So
it sounds like a coastal dependent entity.
It is.
When we were walking the dogs yesterday, I know this may end up sounding pretty Eureka-centric tonight, but yeah, so be it. We were walking the dogs yesterday past a couple of houses that had, I don't know, the dry grass a couple feet tall in the front. And my immediate thought and comment was, nobody's living there. Ange wasn't quite so convinced and said, okay, fine. But there are a number of these houses that are around now that appear to be abandoned, walk away, not repos, because I would think that they would be maintained so that somebody looking to purchase them could see at least the house instead of the dead grass and stuff. With the housing shortage that we have, you said 100 new jobs. Sounds dandy. Still, for me, it gets back to the housing. Do we have the housing for the 100 families that this would reflect? Or are these, you know, are we ready for
100.
Positive down the
road?
Well,
you're assuming that they're all coming in.
True. New-to-area jobs is what I went with. Yeah,
I mean, I assume at least three-quarters of them will be locals who will be getting raises.
Okay.
And so as to the housing, you know, I just bought a house that had the grass and had the cars parked in the lawn.
Oh, you had cars hiding in the lawn, too.
Oh, you bet. And they can't run your lawnmower because Lord knows what.
You'd run into a car.
Yeah. So we bought it, and we're going to be tearing it down. And
that's what I'm surprised, that so many of these homes, and whether they were grow homes and they're the nasty, you know, the black mold and all that kind of stuff, that the property isn't such that there really are bladers. And you just start all over, but the property is what's the scarcity.
The lot And you're right. And what we are finding is I think the price of those fixer-uppers is going down fast enough and to the point now where either adjacent landowners or developers, or not a developer, a builder, can buy the house, tear it down, and build a lot.
So it's crossed that nexus.
It's getting there. Okay. I mean, I don't think you could per se do it with what we bought, but it was adjacent to a property that's owned, and so it made good sense. It doubles the lot, and it, you know, doubles the yard.
Everything makes sense in that application.
Yeah, the Arkley family has entered into a transition last night. We got 3 new Labradors, our daughter puppies. Our daughter took one, and Sherry and I took 2. So
at what point do you have, you have a reserve pretty soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we start hearing tiger noises in the back.
That's right.
Yeah, your new security system too.
Yeah.
As you drive around town or throughout the county, we had a really positive experience in Garberville last month. Went into a restaurant at 6, came out at 8. No bums on the sidewalks, no issues. It was clean. It looked like a quaint, small little town. It was really, it was almost,
I'm sitting here with a big smile because I think we're all seeing that.
Driving through Willow Creek.
Much better.
You could see trees.
You could see trees, and there was only one or two trimmers out in front of Ray Bob's.
Yeah, it just, things are changing. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, considering some of the different challenges that there are that are out there, and then a lot of the positives that are out there also, where's the fulcrum right now? You know, the teeter-totter or seesaw, depending on you grew up with. Where is that now?
I think things are getting better. I think the mill business and the logging business is about where it has been for a sustained period of time. I think they're making a lot of money.
So consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, we see the log decks at Schmidt Bowers.
Yeah.
And they're log decks at Schmidt Bowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yay. Okay. And, there's some action going on out of Corbell.
Right.
Yay. And I know that up in Brookings, they're pumping it good. I mean, there's signs for those that are there. There just aren't as many that are around anymore as there have been, which makes sense.
Sawmills are not sawmills anymore. They're just big computers.
Right, but they're canaries.
They are.
And that's the excitement that I see.
Right now, they're making money. It's not like 08 when every truckload of lumber that went out of a mill represented a loss of some sizable number. So this is their turn. They're making a lot of money. The pot, I don't know. Some people say it's good. Some people say it's bad. Some people, I just don't have a peg on it. I don't see the number of trimmers, which has really cleaned up the town. So that's neat. The restaurants you go to, I think they probably miss the pot customers, but as a non-pot-centric business, it sure is nice going out and not seeing those people eating. And but that was
what I'm curious about that nobody is really focused on, and you know, I kind of keep questioning statewide. Has employment in the marijuana industry gone up? Is it the same or has it constricted? It's not concentrated anymore, so it's all over the state. Overall, are there more employed in that industry or less?
That's a really excellent question. I would judge that there are more, and the reason is I don't think our production has gone down dramatically. I think the legals, boy, they hire a lot of people, and the regulatory atmosphere in the legal is dramatic. So,
well, it's present.
Yeah, it's present. It's on site.
Yeah.
And so my sense is that there's probably as many, but I'm not sure. The price has got the legal, illegal pot is still, you know, much higher than legal pot, but I think it has more risks to it than it did for a while.
It'll be interesting to see after the end of this calendar year, consumption gone up or not? The THC, is that going to start being regulated, or is it still going to be kind of wild, wild west like it is now? Some of those get a couple years under your belt things. Okay, what does this really look like now?
You're into nuance that doesn't even ripple in my psyche. And so,
well, is it a sustainable industry for our area or not?
I've never thought it was a sustainable industry. And as it, if it gets declassified as a listed narcotic, I think basically that's legalization, and that loud poof you heard is the illegals. You know, right now, what is the illegal pot? Illegal pot is really transported.
Transported legal pot.
No, it's and then, illegal pot is translate that we grow here. I understand to be, it's more expensive, but it's really a transportation game. They're transporting it to illegal states.
So if it gets nationalized,
they're screwed.
Yeah, yeah. Will be interesting to see how that plays. So when you're looking 5 years, this is a question I'm asking a lot of folks the last 3-4 weeks. Where we are today, in 5 years or 10 years, what changes?
I think we have new rounds of businesses starting up. I'm quite encouraged by the breweries. I'm quite encouraged by the distilleries and things like that are happening. This new business that has a green footprint is, I think we stand a very good chance of getting them here. And so I'm overall pretty darn optimistic about where we're headed.
So the separation from market that we are, for those that are the tangibles, you don't see as being any kind of a challenge for folks locating into our area? Or are you thinking more of the brain trust and the
I think there's less and less challenge to being here with the internet and with the ability to do things. I think the price of our housing compared to the Bay Area, the quality of life, these are meaningful things. San Francisco.
Enough of an offset for somebody to relocate here?
Yeah. There are lots of them. Why do you think our planes are full? Those aren't all government employees. Those are people that live here that commute.
I was going to ask you if that is a barometer of interest for the area, the LA direct flights being as active.
Sure it is. Sure it is. I think it's a really good barometer for the area. I'm pretty optimistic about things.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 836. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Talk Shop presented by CVH Painting, Redeck, American Egg, and Lolita Cheese. Rob, in considering regional stuff, you know, we've got the gubernatorial race coming up in a couple of months. John Cox on one side, Gavin Newsom on the other. Okay. Choices. And that's, I think, the thing that is somewhat exciting for some of us, is that there are choices. What kind of sense do you have regionally right now? Are we going to be impacted with the tariffs? Are we going to continue to have China and the Orient as a destination for a lot of goods, a lot of shipping off out of the West Coast? What do you see on that international playing field?
Well, you're getting into something that I think is a great opportunity for us, is see if we can become a tariff-free zone so we can our port can develop significantly.
Now, that's been talked about, but is there just no traction on it, or is it really expensive to do?
Well,
or does you need financial you need, philosophical?
No, you need congressional approval.
Oh, it's a federal decision as well. Okay.
Yeah, and so... an executive. So, I mean, I'm not particularly worried about this whole tariff issue. I'm, in fact, all we're, you know, eliminating tariffs would be the best thing in the world.
Is that the end game, do you think?
Yeah, I think
ramp it up and then everybody goes, okay, it's all over?
Yeah, I think that's what, because really there's the comparative advantage versus competitive advantage and all those different theories. But the fact of the matter is we're at a point in the world where let's just have a level playing field. I never worry about competition because I'm more efficient. And that's what, you know, China for a long time had advantages, but they were also creating a very protective market. But I'm going to just throw a jab at you. What's the difference between the, you know, this buy local mantra that we hear here, and it's nationwide. If that isn't protectionism at the grassroots level, nothing is. In other words, we're trying to create advantages, but buy local means don't buy from an out of the area.
From somebody else.
So it's just local protectionism. You don't read about it that way, but that's all it is.
What are your thoughts about Larry Kudlow? Good, quality, placeholder? Is he providing solid information that's starting to have its impact and traction?
Well, I've known Larry for a while. I don't know that he wholly believes what he's doing. I think he, Trump has taken a jar and filled with things and shaken it like a milkshake. No one quite saw where he was going. And so I don't think I think Kudlow is out of his comfort zone. I think Mnuchin is out of his comfort zone. I mean, really, tearing off tariffs, ripping that Band-Aid off, will be a boom to the United States unlike anyone understands.
So is it just a staging?
Well, I don't know if he's going to make it. I don't know if he's going to make it through. But if we get the EU on our side, which...
kind of sounded like it last week.
Sounded like he was making progress. Then we can team up on China and really beat the daylights out of them. Because then you have...
So now, if we had a grand strategy, we would think somewhere around middle of October, there could be a significant announcement. You see anything like that in the tea leaves?
It's too complicated. I think if there's a grand announcement in October, it's shutting the government down so we can build a wall, because you can really weaponize that message as Republicans, because people do not believe in illegal immigration. It's a mystery to me how many businesses support it. But let's have the let's stop illegal immigration. Let's have salaries go up to $15 an hour. And if they can't
By free market.
That's all it does is you don't need to mandate a minimum wage. Have you tried to hire anybody lately? It's hard. And it's great. And you know, finally the Wall Street Journal picks up, gee, a lot of people are hiring people with no experience necessary. We've been doing that forever around here. And they're fantastic employees.
The implosion of Facebook last week. Now, if it was a stock market, we'd be hearing about a readjustment. Is this with Facebook a bellwether? Do you sense that this is something that's just the natural ebb and flow of business, or is there something
bigger? I don't think there's anything natural about Twitter, Facebook, Amazon. These are almost evil empire type companies, and they've been successful and they're more efficient. But I don't think people are going to reward them the way they have.
More than category killers.
Much more. They're category killers to the nth degree.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, Google also is something, and I guess I might be one trick pony, but I look at somebody like a Google or an Amazon, and you were talking about buying local, and to me that translates to supporting Main Street.
Yeah.
Okay. With these guys doing such large numbers that they do and such a large percentage of the market, is there a future for Main Street? I don't really say that facetiously. It really is if we go out 10 years or 15 years, what does Main Street look like? Do we have Little League teams anymore? Because are there any sponsors locally? Do we have the amount of largesse that, and we can use Humboldt in our area as a reference, for all the nonprofits that are in the area? Google's not going to care about Humboldt County or Delaware County. Their model is somewhere else. It's not here.
But don't you think their model is self-limiting?
I don't know. You know, when we talk about USA made and how many folks are buying from cheap goods, and they profess about environmental concerns, and they don't even take the time to look at the environmental degradation in some of these other areas, or human rights, and they don't take that step, or wages, and they don't take, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to go how much da-da-da-da-da on your search engine and see what's going on. I don't know if people look further than that.
Can you use Google on your search engine?
I don't. I've changed it. Yeah. We are so myopic and narcissistic that we don't go, oh, it's going to cost an extra 5%. No. And they'll go somewhere else. So I don't know. I don't know if the consumer marketplace is such.
If you want to spur economic growth, get rid of these damn tariffs. You're going to be shocked at what a raise in pay that is for people.
Okay.
I mean,
does that bring you back to Main Street, though? Because if we don't have retail here now.
Oh, I think.
Do you think we'll have a resurgence of that?
First of all, I don't think this area lends itself to great automation at the scale you're talking about.
Okay, fair
so
enough.
So if you're in an urban center like a San Francisco or...
Well, say Santa Rosa with the rebuild. I mean, they're kind of a little of us and then a little bit of them in between.
I'm not saying it, but I get surprised all the time. thus far, nothing has been done in the technology area that shocks me. What do I see as the big game changers coming up? We're all going to live forever. The things in aging that are being done are miraculous. How are we going to pay for it? Now, my idea would be, instead of we is a revenue neutral, but we take the tariff money and put that into Social Security or something like that, and permanently, or Medicare, permanently fund it. But I think, you know, we're going to run out of money here soon. And
is there going to be enough push to extend the retirement age up into the 70s?
No, I don't think we will make any difficult decisions until they're made for us.
Forced.
Forced decisions, crisis decision making.
Well, we have a pretty good track record there.
We're in the best place in the world. Hell, I think it's great.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you, bud.
See you right tomorrow.